So we're going to be looking this morning at both Psalm 103 and Psalm 57. In both of these psalms, we find clear examples of self-talks, Christian self-talks. And so Psalm 103 starts and finishes with, "O my soul." Whenever you see that phrase, "O my soul," in the Bible, and it occurs a number of places in the Old Testament, that's a person talking to himself or herself. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So I begin reading with Psalm 103, verse 1. I'll read verse 1 to 5, and then verses 10 through 22. And I think we're going to read this together, if I'm understanding it correctly. Let's say together, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind blows over it and it is gone, and knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you and might, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then Psalm 57. Let's say together, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purposes for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put the shame on me. Selah. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul in the midst of lions, I lie down among fiery beasts. The children of man, whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory, awake, O harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens.
your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
You may be seated. You know, maybe some of us are hesitant to engage in self-talks. Talking to yourself. We think to ourselves, yeah, well, that's something that 70 or 80-year-old people do. It's a sign that maybe they're going wacko. When you look at the scriptures, ponder the scriptures, you see a number of examples of self-talks. And so we are grateful to be studying this. There were David and there were others as well who were engaged in self-talks. David on a number of occasions, Psalm 103, Psalm 104 as well, he is talking to himself, doing a self-talk or soliloquy, as we call it. For what purpose? Well, for various purposes. Sometimes to stir themselves up to praise God, or to lift themselves up out of depression, or to spur themselves on to action, or to encourage themselves to find rest in the Lord. We're talking here about biblical self-talks, how to talk to yourself in a Christian way. So yes, we have read a few examples already from Psalm 103 and Psalm 100 and Psalm 57. In Psalm 42 we read, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. I will again praise him, my Savior and my God." And also in Judges, chapter 5, verse 21, Deborah speaking. She says, "March on, my soul, be strong." She was telling herself that with the leadership challenges that she was facing, she was telling herself to keep moving forward. Don't give in to fear, as she was leading the people in battle. And then Psalm 62 also. "Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." So these "O my souls," these self-talks, occur often enough in Scripture so that we can say, yes, it's there in the Word of God. It's okay for me to be talking to myself in a biblical kind of a way. If we don't control our thoughts are going to control us. So a question for all of us. What are the harmful or destructive thought patterns in our lives? And then more importantly, what is it that we can do about it? The scriptures that we are going to look at this morning give us some guidance on how to deal with the counterproductive thought patterns. These scriptures speak truth to our lives to help us get moving in the right direction. They provide guidance on how we can talk to ourselves in the right way. In 2007, someone came out with a book on self-talks from a Christian perspective. Self-talks from the Word of God. Self-talks that give us guidance on how to address ourselves spiritually. And I want us to notice that in every one of these "O my souls" in the Bible, they are in the context of prayer. David is praying to God, Psalm 103, Psalm 104, praying to God, connecting with God, and then as he's praying, David talks to himself, challenges himself, tries to stir himself up to praise God. And so that's my first point this morning. You have a page there to take notes for this message. And so the first point is engage in self-talks in the context of prayer. Engage in self-talks in the context of prayer. That's what David did. Because when you're praying in the morning, you pray over the day, you pray over the meetings that you're going to have, activities that you're going to be involved in, then, yeah, an idea may come to you. And you can say to yourself, yeah, Eric, you should visit that person in the hospital. Or Janelle, yeah, you need to make a phone call to Roseanne. She needs a word of encouragement. She needs to know that someone is praying for her. And so, yes, today we look at Psalm 103 and Psalm 57. Self-talks to stir ourselves up to praise God and rejoice in Him and give thanks to Him. David may have been going through some tough experience, and so he says to himself, okay, self, you know the drill. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Praise His holy name. Notice that David says, all that is within me. And that's my second point. When engaged in self-talks, do those self-talks with all your being. David didn't want this praising of the Lord to be a half-hearted effort. He wanted to be totally engaged. He says, all within me, praise His holy name. Come on, deep down there in the deep recesses of my heart, down there where there's still resentment against the Lord for some of the things He may have brought into my life, praise the Lord. All that is within me, praise His holy name. Self, you need to be 110% involved in giving praise to God. He goes on. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. All of us have a tendency to forget some of the Lord's benefits to us. It's good for us to get a tablet out and start writing them down. Notice some of the benefits that David identifies. Who forgives all your sins. That's right up there at the top of the list. Receiving from God a clean slate for all our sins. Who heals all of your diseases. Maybe some of us have been healed of cancer or other sicknesses. Who redeems you from destruction. Maybe some of us have experienced or recall circumstances in our lives when yeah, it was a very dangerous kind of a thing, and the Lord rescued us. The Lord saved us. We need to praise God for His intervention, how He rescued us in those situations. When we do so, it recharges us spiritually. And that's the third point. Engaging in self-talk to praise God recharges us spiritually. Sometimes we're down in the dumps, and we stay in the dumps. Not a good idea. The best way to get out of the dumps is to tell yourself to praise God. It will help you to rise above the circumstances. David says, in effect, self, you have been crowned with love and compassion. God has lavished His goodness upon you. Same for us today. God has given us many gifts. God has given us people in our lives to shape us into who we are today. Take time to think and pray about those people and how God has used them in your life. And self, also remember that God satisfies you with good things. For each of us, God has satisfied many of our desires, so that we have been renewed and we are able to soar like eagles. Remember, self, that God does not deal with you as your sins deserve. If he did so, you would be in deep trouble. Self, you need to know deep down that God's love for you is great. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. He mentions it earlier in the psalm, and he does so again. In Psalm 57, David, the context is that David was fleeing from Saul and hiding in a cave. He was scared. He feared for his life. Saul and his soldiers are searching for David, but somehow or other they pass over the cave where David and his men were hiding. In Psalm 57, David affirms that God is going to fulfill his purpose for him. And so he addresses him as El Elyon, God Most High. It emphasizes that God is sovereign over all things, that he is all-powerful, and that he fulfills the purposes that he has for his people. For each one of us, God is fulfilling his purpose for us. But here's the catch. It's God's purpose for us. It's not our purpose for us. We may have things on our own personal agenda that we want to see happen in our lives, but just because it's on our agenda doesn't mean that it's on God's agenda. Have you ever tried to get God to write you a blank check? We've got something on our agenda that we want to see happen, and so we want God to write us a blank check. And so you've got this check where God has written his name on the bottom, and the date is on it, and in the middle it says, pay to the order of, and Philip Grunewald or whoever, and the amount he leaves blank. And we say, great, that's exactly what I want. Now I can get out from under the financial burden that's dragging me down, get rid of that ornery boss that I have, pay off all my debts. Maybe we say to ourselves, $800,000. God, that's what I would like. If you would just give me $800,000 on that blank check, that would set me up so it could pay off my house and pay off all my other debts, and I'd be in good shape for retirement. But getting a blank check from God is the worst thing that could happen to our lives, because the end result is that we would no longer be depending upon God. You and I do not know what's best for us. God does. Because David was confident of God's purpose for him, putting him on the throne, he doesn't resort to treachery. He doesn't try to grab the throne for himself. 1 Samuel describes how David had a golden opportunity to grab the throne. Saul was relieving himself in the cave of En-Gedi, and David and his men were further inside, deeper inside that cave of En-Gedi. And David's men said to him, now's your opportunity, David. Saul, he's right there. You can put him to death, and the kingdom will be yours. And David says, God forbid that I should touch the Lord's anointed. David wanted things to be done in God's way and in God's timing. In those intense conversations that David has with God, you notice there's a lot of things going on. He sheds a lot of tears. He does complaining. He does questioning. But please notice that he doesn't leave it there. In the last half of Psalm 57, it's in effect a wake-up call to praise. In the first half of Psalm 57, David is wrestling with God. There's honest expression of disappointment with God. He comes to grips with all the hurt that he's feeling, but he doesn't leave it there. David knows how this whole thing should end up. He knows what kind of resolution there should be to whatever problem it is that he's facing. And so he starts talking to himself about the need for praising God. Don't underestimate the importance of talking to yourself in the context of prayer while you're going through a difficult circumstance. Don't underestimate the importance of telling yourself to praise God. Awake, my soul, says David in Psalm 57. Awake, my soul, awake, harp and lyre. Jump into action, you musical instruments. Guitar, what are you doing? Just sitting over there in the corner. Get up there and instead of just collecting dusts, we need to praise God. We've got a job to do. We've got to make that sun come up on the eastern horizon. I will awaken the dawn. Even though he was struggling, David was convinced of the priority of engaging in vigorous praise. And so he exuberantly sings a song of praise to God, even though on those occasions, even when he didn't feel like offering up praise, still he chooses to do it out of obedience because he knows that it's the only way for him to get back on track spiritually. In verse 7, Psalm 57, David says to God, "My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. God, I want you to know that my desire to praise you is unshakable." David was aware that singing a song or singing a series of songs would awaken feelings of gratitude in his heart. And for us also, offering up worship, offering up private worship, presenting praise in a public setting, in our congregation here, helps us to keep in tune spiritually. For David, worship wasn't restricted to one day in the week. It was part of his daily life. He says, in fact, "Every day I will praise your name and extol your goodness forever and ever." The thing that David praises God for more than anything else is his love. He says, "For great is your love, reaching to the heavens." David was impressed with the immensity of God's love for him personally. The pain, the hurt, the discouragement is inevitable, but the only way to get through it is God's way. Calling out to him, being honest with him, getting emotional with God. And then after we've processed all the disappointments, the setbacks, and the pain, then we end up with an affirmation of praise. You can picture David as he's walking to the mouth of the cave just as dawn is beginning to break. A couple of days earlier, Saul's troops were all over the place. But now, David steps out the cave and there aren't any troops anywhere to be found. And he bursts forth with a song of praise. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Now, you and I today have an advantage, a big advantage, over David in grasping the greatness of God's love, because we have the full story of God's greatest expression of love in the person of Jesus Christ, so that we can say with David, but we can say it with greater meaning, "Great is your love, O God, reaching to the heavens." David, at this point in his life, not yet king, had a following of 400 men. And these were not what you would call quality people. 1 Samuel 22, verse 2, describes them as men who were in 3 D's. Men in distress, or in debt, or discontented. These distressed, indebted, discontented men gather around David and look to him as leader. And so as David went, so went his men. And so this unshakable desire of David's to give praise to God regardless of circumstances becomes a very important factor, because it impacts 400 men. And so, yes, we've looked at several examples of David talking to himself in the Scripture. Imagine a few other moments in David's life when he may have engaged in self-talks. Imagine him talking to himself after the Uriah and Bathsheba incident. "David, you idiot. You let your eyes wander and you get involved sexually with this woman. Then she becomes pregnant and you try to cover it up, and the cover-up doesn't work, and so you arrange to have her husband killed, who was one of your finest soldiers. What in the world were you thinking? Because you allowed these selfish passions to get the best of you, the baby died. Your baby died. Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, give me the power to be self-controlled." Or, after the occasion with Nabal and Abigail, imagine him saying to himself, "David, don't go flying off into a rage when someone turns down your request for assistance, food assistance. You were really ready to kill a guy, and what did he do? The only thing that he did was refuse your request for food. Thank you, Lord, for sending Abigail at the perfect time to keep me from foolish and impulsive behavior. Lord, help me to exercise self-control." Or maybe you remember the incident when David was intent on counting how many troops were in his army. Joab says to him, "King, this is not a good idea. May the Lord multiply your troops 100 times over. But why in the world do you want to have your troops numbered?" "Joab, I gave you an order. I want to know how many troops I have. So get out there and count them right now." So Joab and the others do the count. 800,000 men of Israel, fighting men. 500,000 fighting men of Judah. 1.3 million total. God was not pleased, and there were serious consequences. Imagine the conversation that David has with himself afterwards. "David, don't you ever count those troops again." Because the thing that was motivating you was pride. You were starting to think that it was by the strength of your well-trained troops that you gained all these victories over the enemy, and at what cost? All because you wanted to count them, and the cost was the lives of 70,000 people from Dan to Beersheba, dying in a plague, all because you wanted to count troops. Oh God, please forgive me. Help me to know that it's only by your power and your mighty hand and outstretched arm that we are victorious against the enemy. Sometimes I engage in self-talks in Papua New Guinea. Like I mentioned before the sermon, it is a pain in the posterior to work in Papua New Guinea. So many things don't work right. And it's difficult serving there. And so, in fact, already here about 3 years ago, I asked the Board of Trustees, would it be okay if we would serve for many years it was 6 months, 6 months, right? About 3 years ago, I asked, would it be okay if Penny and I would serve in PNG for 3 months and spend 9 months in the USA, because I can still write my books in the USA, and we can also we're very much involved with all the supporting churches. Sometimes I preach, sometimes we just give an update. We're very glad to. And the Board of Trustees, they said, yeah, that's okay. 3 months and 9 months in the USA is okay. So we're very grateful for that kind of a response. And the Lord has opened wide this door of Christian religious education. You can teach the Word of God in the public high schools. Teach all these different topics that are of great relevance in Papua New Guinea. The number one reason people kill each other in Papua New Guinea is land disputes. They're fighting and killing each other over lands. They don't have good land titles or registers in the community or in the extended in the province that they're living in. What a difficult thing. And so, yes, we are grateful that the opportunity is there to serve publicly. Domestic violence. What a huge challenge in Papua New Guinea. In the last year, I was doing a course with all the pastors. And I said, okay, how many of us pastors, there were about 100 pastors in the room, how many of us pastors have beaten our wives? Good 60-70% of the hands went up. Now, it may have been 10 years since the last time they had beaten their wives. But I tell them, never, never, never beat your wife. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Have a deep love for your wife, even if she hasn't worked in the garden, even if she hasn't cooked the food right, and all the different reasons. Husbands, love your wives as Christ the church. And so I tell these pastors, you guys, you've got to preach on this, because in your churches, in the remote villages there in Papua New Guinea, in your churches, guess what's happening? The men are beating their wives. And they realize it, they recognize it. And so we give them the resources on 10 hot topics, or in the Melanesian language, it's known as 10 Pela Big Pela Talk, 10 Big Talks. And these are some of the topics. Sorcery is another big problem in PNG. And if there's a four-year-old or five-year-old child in the village that dies, what the villagers say, don't show us this document from the medic that says that the child died of cancer. We all know that it was because of sorcery. And there's some old lady in our village that has performed sorcery on this young child, and that's why that child died. It isn't true. But sometimes that's what happens, and they will torture her and in some cases kill that person, that woman, because of the alleged sorcery. When our Lord Jesus walked this earth, he displayed God's loving kindness on numerous occasions. He was very involved in ministering to people in need. But as he did so, he was always thinking about what the Father was doing. That's right, the Lord Jesus was thinking about what it is that God is doing. In John 5:19, Jesus says, "The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing." That was the modus operandi of Jesus. He was always alert as to what the Father was doing. Every day as he was engaged in ministry, he would be asking himself, he would be talking to himself, what is it that the Father is doing? And how can I work in that context? Based on what he saw, he would say, yes, that is the Father that is at work. And now I need to join him in what he is doing. The woman who had the 12-year flow of blood, she comes to Jesus and touches Jesus without Jesus noticing it. And Jesus felt power flowing out of him. And immediately he knew that the Father was doing. And he wanted to track what it was that the Father was doing. The Father was at work. And so Jesus joined in with what the Father was doing, and the woman gives full testimony of what had happened as she was trembling. To the Syrophoenician woman, very impressed with the interaction of the Syrophoenician woman, Jesus made this comment, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And does the Syrophoenician woman say, excuse me, are you calling me a dog? That's quite an insult. No, she doesn't say that. She says, yes, Jesus. But even the dogs get a few crumbs that get thrown under the table. And Jesus was astonished at that response. And he sensed in his spirit that God the Father was at work in this woman's life. And so he realized he needed to join in with what the Father was doing. He says to the woman, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." Every day, Jesus was alert and responsive to what the Father was doing. And he would join in with the Father's activity. And that has implications for us today. Every one of us needs to be alert and responsive to what the Father is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing, and then to join in with what he is doing. And then give wholehearted praise to what God is accomplishing. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name." And all God's people said, amen. Okay, we sing a song in response. Bless the Lord. Thank you for whoever selected this song. It fits beautifully. It's based on Psalm 103, and there's some self-talking that goes on in this song. So let's stand together as we sing.